Never assign a level of difficulty to something before you even take the first step. Myron Golden. It's remarkable how often the real problem is not what happened, but how it was communicated. James Clear. I know I have the right to remain silent. I just don't have the ability. Ron White. Before we dive in, I want to ask you a couple questions. Is your project team allergic, to timelines? I'm just playing, family. What if I told you the problem isn't your team, it's actually your approach? What if your team's resistance to timelines is actually a beg, a cry for better and exceptional leadership? Are you brave enough to completely overhaul your project management style for unprecedented success? If that's you, you might want to tune in to today's episode. You mind if I share a story with you? If you're ever thinking about being a project manager and falling in love with this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, you're going to have to consistently get creative and create a sense of urgency. When I first learned about this, this was about maybe 3 or more years ago, I got so tired of project teams misleading me on project timelines, as I thought. And when I was having meetings with my manager just to keep him up to date of how we were performing on the project schedule, first question is he's looking through the project schedule and saying, hey, why are we behind on this task or that task? Now, I'm going to be honest with you, in my mind, and again, I paraphrase it, I should say preference, that in my mind, I was like, you know why we behind, but I took the alternative route. I said, can we have a follow-up meeting in 2 days to discuss my proposed solutions? He agreed. And I went to go talk to each project team member individually within that 2-day span to really understand what was going on. You see, family, a lot of times project team members do not want to give you real, or I should say, really tell you what's going on with their particular task of why they're falling behind or why they set a very unrealistic project timeline, because publicly it looks good. And so you have to find out privately. And when I picked up this technique of talking to project team members privately to really find out, hey, what is the true timeline? And even if you can get ahead of that by asking them before you get on the big meeting with the rest of the team, I found that out to be more effective. Now, I know what you're saying is like, I don't have the time to meet with, what if I have a big team of 20? Well, you need to prioritize, because what you don't, the end goal or the main goal here is to find out why the timelines keep slipping. Why does this team member, project team member, make a commitment to this, to a particular time? And then when you get to the meeting just for your weekly meetings and saying, okay, hey, where we're at on this task, it was due such and such, have we can complete it? Can I mark this as complete? And they're like, well, no, well, and then you say, well, what happened? And they say, well, another priority happened, or we're short on resources, or, you know, if you've been there, then you've heard the type of responses. If you haven't, well, get prepared. So family, I'm going to jump into today's episode and address, as you know, my 8-point framework on some of these things we can address. Let's just get right into it. Point number one, poor communication channels. You know, team members feel concerns about timelines because they feel like they won't be heard. So they may be reluctant to provide really true, realistic estimates. And so again, what I talked about earlier when I had a meeting with my manager and what I did as a proposed solution, here's an actionable tip. Establish one-on-one private regular timeline concern meetings. And what this does is now it's just you and that project team or a team member or the actual team. So if it's, let's use an example, if it's the application team and that resource wants to hit the rest of his team there, just like on the big weekly meeting, what you do is make sure that you invite that team and say, okay, hey guys, this is a very safe place. I need a true, realistic estimate of where we're going to be at. And I need you to be upfront with me. Tell me what's going on. Is this personal or professional? If it's personal, you don't want all these people, let me set up an additional one-on-one. And again, I get it. because I'm not big for having a meeting after a meeting. And I'm going to touch on that as well. However, there are times, there are moments, especially when it comes to timelines, because you're being held accountable as the project manager to actually lead this team effectively and have influence at the same time, inspire them to achieve a goal, especially when they don't report to you, which is already a challenge. So again, setting up these one-on-one private meetings is going to work. Point number two, this is something I've been guilty about plenty of times, even when, you know, for me, like, I have two books that are already written and I'm going through point number two, which is perfectionism. I don't know about you, but these perfectionisms, oh, it bothers me because I want to be perfect. And then I'll read someone else's material on project management. And then I'm like, how did they write this? They shouldn't have wrote this. This is not, and I'm not judging all because I know what it takes to produce a book, but it's the whole aspect of things of just, you want things to be perfect instead of course correcting. And so what happens is some team members may avoid committing a timeline due to that desire of perfectionism. Actionable tip, encourage more of an iterative approach. What is iterative? Meaning emphasizing on a delivery of an MVP, which stands for minimal viable product. And this, what this does is that when they produce that particular increment, you can look at it and say, okay, yeah, that's good. Let's tweak this. And then we'll come back next week and eventually put it out. But just those little small tweaks gives that project team member the confidence to be able to say, okay, this is good enough. We're moving forward. And it takes them out of that mindset. And we've all felt guilty to it, especially if you're trying to live up to an exceptionalism level. Let's move on to point number three. Fear of accountability. You know, that's why a lot of people make interest. What is the interest? Like, you know, I'll try to make the meeting. What do you mean you'll try to make the meeting? You didn't try and sit down. Either you sit down or you don't. So just want you to be upfront with me and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to make that meeting. But when you say try, it opens up the door for, hey, if you didn't make it, then you can say, well, you know, I told you that I was going to try and be there. Instead of holding someone accountable, when you hold someone accountable, you're saying that, hey, you said you're going to meet this particular timeline, but really the true explanation here, we're really going to be transparent. And, you know, that's what I want to deliver for you guys today is a project team member is nervous that they may promise too much and then fail to deliver. So here's an actionable tip. Team members often have a fear of being held responsible for missed deadlines, and it leads to a reluctance of providing that actual timeline. So what you do is when someone says, hey, I'm going to try, you say, you correct them right away. When you say try, does that mean if you don't do it, then it's okay? And if you do it, it's okay. And then they're going to be like, what is he saying? And you want to create that confusion right away. And then you come in and clear it up and say, hey, reason why I'm asking you that is because I can't go up to leadership and say, hey, they're going to try and make it on this date. Instead of giving me tangible information to say, yep, we're looking to hit this particular date on Friday. And here's some of the roadblocks that we truly feel that we're up against that may prevent us from hitting that date. And because of that, we would like to know if we schedule it an additional week, because we're sure that we'll be able to knock out those particular roadblocks. Easy peasy. So that's important, family. Don't allow someone to say, yeah, I'll try or maybe, because it doesn't do anything for you as a project manager. Like I said, you're the coach and you're being held accountable as the coach to be able to say, and when you're talking to executives or senior leadership or just, you know, I always say directors and above, it's just more or less they want definiteness. And if you can't communicate that and articulate that in a way that gives them, you know, the comfortability that you're going to be able to deliver, then they're going to wonder, well, why do we even have you in this position? So point number four, lack of clear priorities and project impact. See, a lot of times, family, you know, when you lead projects, you have to keep in mind that the project team is not only just working on your project, they may be assigned to other projects, as well as they have their day-to-day operational work. So they're juggling multiple tasks at one time. And so they struggle to make that commitment, because if they make the commitment to you as the project manager at one time, and then they make another commitment to a project to another project manager, and then they have their day-to-day work. So one of the actionable tips that I like to do is I like to categorize their priorities, meaning, okay, here's the sense of urgency and the importance of things we need from you on this particular project. And here's another one. Identify, or I should say, implement the top three rule, where each team member identifies their three top priorities for that week. This way, it's easier if you have to set up those one-on-ones as a quick touch base. It's an easier conversation, because you're saying, hey, these are the top three that we agreed on in the meeting. I want to know where we're at. What are you doing? What are your roadblocks, et cetera? Let's move on to point number five, message. Hey, if you're new to the episode, anytime I say message, this is something you want to lock in. You want to tune in, because this is something that you're going to be able to take today. I'll give you to tomorrow to maybe even think about using it, but it's something you can apply right away. Point number five, pressure from management. Unrealistic expectation from upper management can lead teams to providing overly optimistic timelines. And this happens because it's like, I want to make upper management, you know, happy about what I'm doing. And so either they overcommit when they know they're not going to be able to meet those timelines, because it looks good on the schedule or on the meeting recap, but in actuality, they never deliver. So one of the things I always recommend doing, and this is going to take a lot of courage, but you wouldn't be paying attention to me if you didn't have that courage. So I appreciate you. Invite that senior manager to your team estimation sessions, and give them the firsthand experience. See, it's one thing to talk about, hey, you know, if I was in your shoes, this is how I'll do it, versus when you're in those shoes and seeing the experience firsthand, and you're like, wait a minute. Yeah, that is very unreasonable or unrealistic for that person to hit that timeline, especially if they're assigned to different projects and having their operation work. How can we find a common ground where we still can deliver a quality standard product at the same time, make some adjustments on the actual timelines? All right, family, let's move on to point number six, past experience with missed deadlines. You know, there's a history, some team members, boy, they have a history of missing deadlines, and can really make team members hesitant to provide new timelines, because it's like, man, I know, especially if they work with you before and they know how you've held them accountable, and they say, well, yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do that because of this. And what they're really communicating, you know, my mentor would always say, you have to pay attention to what is not being said a lot of times instead of what's being said. And what they're saying to you is that I know I made commitments. I know I've held myself accountable for when I was going to meet this deadline and I didn't deliver. I'm nervous to do that again. So one of the things I like to do and I've done is really showcasing other project team members successfully meeting their deadlines. One of the things that's going to create competition. All competition is not bad. Also, it's going to build confidence in a positive association. It's going to make people want to, it's sort of like that whole theory if somebody, and this is for my good people out there, you know, but seriously, somebody does something nice for you, you want to return it the favor back and do something nice for them. So I use that analogy to say, when you're showing the positive work as far as people hitting, project team members hitting their deadlines, you want to be able to post that and show that to really push and encourage project team members to do that. And they may even start coming to you. Hey, I need some assistance. How do I get some of these priorities moved around? Or what would you recommend? And that's what you want. You want to create that open and transparent conversation. Let's move on to point number seven, insufficient resources. You know, teams may hesitate to commit to timelines as well because of the fact that there are true resource constraints that's impacting their ability to deliver. And this is so real, especially these days and ages of leading projects. I'm seeing more that you can have a lot more resource constraints and you have to have the ability to navigate with that. One of the things that I've done that I, again, found very effective is meeting with that project team member's direct report. In meeting with them, the goal is to ensure that the actual that the manager is aware of what their direct report is working on. Because a lot of times when project team members are in meetings, that you know they're walking away with their responsibilities, they're not really communicating up to their manager like what they're working on, because the manager may be really solely focused on their day to day. So you have to have their back as a project manager and make and schedule those meetings when you're starting to see some disconnect on them meeting timelines, and not to really throw them under the bus, but to say, hey, I want to let you know what John is working on for this particular project over this week. So we're really going to need his focus. Is there any way that we can shift any of his other maybe day-to-day or any other priorities aside so we can give him the proper support that he needs in order to execute? Point eight, meeting overload. Now, I know you're like, wait a minute, ED, you're talking about setting up these one-on-ones, meeting managers and things of that nature. But that's not what I mean by that. Meeting overload is basically scheduling too many meetings to have the appearance of that you're actually executing on the project. I remember the first time I seen that from a project manager where he scheduled a meeting to have another meeting to talk about the other meeting that they just had a day ago. And I'm like, I had to pull him aside. I said, and I didn't want to be judgmental. I said, why are you doing that? He was like, well, they're not meeting deadlines. And I said, you know, listen, again, I'm not trying to be judgmental, but do you think that you having another meeting right after you just had the meeting a day before is giving them time to do what they came to do, which is execute on the project task? He was like, oh, well, yeah, I didn't think about that. So I that's what I mean by meeting overload, to have a meeting on top of another meeting. And I'm talking about your weekly meetings, not your check-in, like, hey, let me get 10 to 15 minutes to find out where you're at and to see if you have any roadblocks. I'm talking about your regular, your weekly or two times a week or biweekly, however you set it up, of having the bigger project team from all the various departments. That takes a lot of people's time, because you may be on a long meeting and they only may have a 10 or 15 minute speaking moment. So you want to find ways to really respect their time so they can do what they came to do, and that's execute on the task. So you're going to have to take it upon yourself. And again, I know it's extra work. You should be able to feel like, well, hey, I assigned you this task and you gave me the timeline and you should be able to do it and come back to me. Project management doesn't work that way. Well, excuse me, it does, but not exceptional project management and not exceptional project managers. They check in with their team, because what they're saying to them is not that I'm micromanaging you. What I'm saying is I want to make sure you're getting the proper support. So that's why I always say that a 10 to 15, no longer than 15 minute meeting to just check in to verify two things. You pick the task that you're working on. Are you going to be able to meet that? And then any roadblocks, are you getting additional meetings from other, you know, stakeholders or from other project team members? If so, we need to find out a way how we can find meetings together so you can and keeping the main thing the main thing. Here's my first bonus for you. Incomplete information. Teams may feel that the lack of crucial information needed to provide accurate estimates. I've even dealt with that as just getting bad information or information of saying, yep, the customer wants it tomorrow. You know, you're like, wait a minute, we literally just launched this. What you mean they want it tomorrow? And I know I'm being a little, you know, facetious here, but I really do mean that a lot of times you have to get accurate estimates of what the project is going to lead to. That's why a project charter is definitely important. Here's an actionable tip. Use a question parking lot board in your project management tool or Excel or Word document where team members can post, and this allows them to post questions that they may have that won't take up your meeting, and then you can address it right on the meeting and lead the meeting more effectively. Here's my second bonus: fear of overcommitting. I don't know about you, I've overcommitted on a lot of things in life, and I found out there was no value. Instead of using that one word, no, I just said, yeah, I'll do it. And it just didn't help build trust with the person I was, you know, working with that asked me for the commitment. And it made me feel some kind of way, because I love delivering on what I said I was going to do. I love being committed to the thing I said I was going to be committed to. So team members may feel overly cautious about promising too much And again, of that fear of delivering. Here's an actionable tip. Ask the project team a resource for two dates. I say ask them for their best case scenario. Hey, if everything goes well, you don't have anything that goes wrong, meaning any roadblocks or anything, give me that date. And then the worst case scenario, hey, what if you have some roadblocks? What if this happens? What if that? And then you need to negotiate and find a meeting, a middle aspect, and be like, all right, this is the date we're going to go with. This is why I always recommend to project managers, especially new project managers, to study negotiation, to study sales and marketing books or material in general, because you're going to have to use this skill set to get to a common ground a lot of time. All right. Here are my three closing remarks, family, and I'll let you go on your way. And I appreciate you, as always, tuning in with me today. Point number one, fear of accountability. Like I said, their project team members are always nervous about promising too much and then failing to deliver. So you want to just make sure that you can find ways to assist them of not having that fear of being accountable. What I mean by that is working with them to find out why are they having issue of making a commitment to the deadline that they promised it was going to happen. Point number two, pressure from management. Again, we all experience this as project management. Sometimes we have to deal with unrealistic expectations. And so how do we overcome that? One of the things I always like to do is invite that senior manager in so they can see, like, wait a minute, yeah, the dates are a little just too aggressive. And what we need to do is kind of scale back and find a medium. As you can see, I keep saying a medium, a middle place, because that's going to be important. I do think there's going to be a lot of times that you need to push your team, but also you have to be cognizant of that, because you either may, one, burn them out, or two, that they just say, you know what, I'm just going to say any type of date just so I don't have to feel that pressure. And then the last and final one is insufficient resources. There are resource constraints. I'm seeing it more over my many years of leading projects. So you always, to support your project team, you want to meet with their direct manager so you can find out, hey, is there any way we can negotiate here to move certain priorities around? So give them enough time to keep the main thing the main thing. And if yours is not number one and it's three, that's fine. But at least now you have a better understand where to drive the actual project. Hey, family, I truly appreciate you spending time with me today. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means Ed. Until next time, I'm gone.